Hey there, welcome to the High Five Podcast. Each episode, we count down our top five favorites in a different category, from movies and music to the totally random. Get ready to laugh and maybe even yell at our picks. Let's get into this week's High Five.
Might be the last week that I'm recording in this room.
Oh yeah,
yeah, everything's getting moved up.
Getting a recording studio?
No, not so much. Nope, we're moving the office upstairs in the extra bedroom because all the toy stuff is pretty much all in the basement. There's a few more of the stuff that I gotta get down there. So
nice. So maybe I'll be able to see your face better.
I doubt it. It'll probably be about the same. It's still a room with one light above. So I need to get secondary lighting, but
yeah, some lighting that is in front of you.
Yeah, one step at a time. Yeah, this one was a little hard.
Yeah, it took a little bit more thinking.
Well, I guess I don't know what qualifies as a hack. You know what I mean? Like
just the technique.
Even doing like research, there are some where I'm like, that's not really a hack. That's just what
common
you know,
sense.
Like, yeah. Like there's one, it says using scissors to cut up food. Like that's not a parenting hack. Is that?
That's just a cutting things hack.
Right. I don't know. There's just some stuff where I was like, man, that's, it was hard for me to kind of like, to me, a parenting hack is like a revolutionary idea. And maybe I just think of parenting hack in too high of terms. So
I think you probably are on the right path. Oh. And people have more looser terms than you.
Yeah.
So how you been?
Good. Yeah. Yep. Like I said, we'll be moving this stuff upstairs because the basement is done. We got carpet in, we got a TV, we got couches,
I'm excited to see it.
Star Wars and Legos galore down there. So yeah. Yep, it's ready to go. Good to go. So
cool. Yep. Cool. Yeah, I just got back from working on Vivian's musical set. They want the parents to all donate time and help out, and I've always just paid the money and just donated the money instead of the time.
Sure.
But now that Vivian is getting to be one of the older kids, I figured it'd probably be a good idea to show up and help out.
Yeah.
And of course they like having me around because I know what I'm doing. But
I was gonna say you have some useful skills, right?
End up just running the crew at times.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you go cut board for me. And then ends up being that's the guy that's like the foreman telling him what to do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the bummer of that situation is like because it is, you know, I mean it's not your job, but it is. I mean, that's what your skills set is. You know, to try to do that with people who maybe don't have that skill set. I could see that being a little frustrating and things.
Yeah, like I mean, I've seen that kind of person in action in that situation before.
Yeah.
As someone who wasn't maybe the expert at the time. Like I've seen like my mentor, like working on church projects and stuff like that, Dave Tompkins.
Sure.
And so like... Yeah. They have the tendency, that type of person can have the tendency to be like, give me the drill, let me do it. I'm going to do it the right way. There's no sense in me showing you. But like, so I've seen that enough times. Not that Dave was that way, but just that type of person has a tendency to be that way because it's just easier to do it yourself sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I really try to not do that. Not because, I mean... I'm also a firm believer that, you know, there can be too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Is that?
Yeah, not for sure. Yep.
Too many chiefs, not enough Native Americans. So
sure.
I I will be that way until I'm kind of called upon or asked to do more. And so,
Yeah.
yeah, that does happen. But
Sure.
it's fun. I'm happy to be appreciated and used in that way. But they've already been like, hey, we're working on it. We got one more punch list of items that needs to get done. Do you think you could come in on Saturday for a couple hours? We're working from 10 to 2. And I'm like, oh. So
Yeah, you don't want to get roped into every production, right?
luckily, show next week is tech week. So, like, this is crunch time. So I get it. And I do. I think I will probably try to stop in for a couple hours, but they're not getting all of 10 to 2. They might get 10 to noon, but I'll end up being there till 2 probably. All right, I think I'm ready if you're ready.
Let's do it.
Okay. Hello and welcome to the High Five Podcast, where each week Caleb and I list our five favorite items within an ever-changing topic list. And this week is my topic, and I chose parenting hacks. So,
Yep.
how you doing, Caleb? What do you think of that
I'm
topic?
good. Yeah, it was probably one of the more challenging lists for me to come up with. But I'm not surprised by that, just because to me, like when I think of parenting hack, I think of like a earth-shattering revolutionary idea.
Yeah.
And then when I did some research online, it was like silly things that I was like, well, that's not really a parenting hack. That's more of like a parenting choice or so. I don't know. I
Yeah.
just so it was really hard for me to kind of think about my not only growing up the way I was parented, but even the way Tori and I have chosen to raise our kids,
Yeah.
and just trying to think of different things. So it was difficult. So I did come up with five. I don't know if they're revolutionary or what, but they were what we have used that have helped us as parents parent our kids.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, I'd say for me, there's kind of two ways to really differentiate them. For me, was like maybe it was one that was different from the way I was raised. Not that,
sure.
I mean, I was raised great. We've talked about this. Like, love my parents, and I thought my parents did a great job with me and my sisters and all the foster kids that they've fostered over the years. But I mean, sometimes things just are different times, different size families. I have one daughter, so like things are just different for everybody. So sometimes it's just something that was different than the way I was raised. But then also, another way that I was looking at it was like something that when I tried it, it was just like, oh my gosh, that actually works. Like light switch moment, or light bulb moment, where it was just like, wow, that really works, and it works every single time. And so yeah, those are kind of how they boiled down for me for the most part. So
Did you have any on your list that were like hacks your parents used, or were these all hacks that kind of you and Katie have used?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, but maybe they did, and I didn't consult with my parents on whether or not they used any of
Oh,
these.
okay.
They might
Got
have
it.
been, because some of them are more subtle.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, I would think they probably did at some points, tried some of these, and I being on the child end, you wouldn't necessarily know is a technique or if it was
Sure.
just something they did out of nature,
Okay. But okay. But these are probably for you and me the same, where it's more of what we have used on our kids as opposed to maybe were used on us as
Correct.
kids,
Yeah.
right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, all right. So I think that's a good warm up. I don't really think we need to talk too much more about it. I think we're going to talk about a lot about every one of these. And there's going to be kind of storytelling and that kind of things. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to spend too much time on actual, details and stories, but there'll be some examples. at least some anecdotes, I guess we'll say.
Yep, and I know we have a couple of voicemails, which is good. So, yeah, and if anyone wants to leave voicemails on future episodes, they can find us on Facebook and Instagram and SpeakPipe at High Five Podcast as well, and emailing us directly at thehighfivepodcast@gmail.com. So that's nice way to interact with us.
Yep. So I think, the other thing I will say about mine is they kind of go in order of parent of how I parented. Like, so obviously I was a small child. And so, my number five is going to be one that I learned more early on. And then as I get to number one, those are ones that I'm, you know, either am just learning or still are learning, or, you know, we're still working through it. They're more recent ones. So I thought that'd be a kind of an interesting way to go. So,
yeah, cool.
Cool. All right. So since this was my topic, I will go first. My number five is the two choices technique. It's just what I called it. So basically, this is one of those where when I tried it, and you know, where it was like, Vivian, I need you to get ready to go to school now. I need you to get your shoes on, and I need you to get some clothes on. When you just say, get your clothes on, you have thousands of different combinations of clothes to wear. You've got 10 different pairs of shoes you can wear. But if you say, I want you to pick between these red shoes or these blue shoes and these two pairs of pants and these two shirts, it really made that part of the process of getting ready to go just way more manageable. It's like, holy cow, like that works. Like that is something that works every single time, where if you just, you don't give them an unlimited amount of choices, or sometimes the choices are bad. Sometimes it's like, well, you've got to go to bed. Do you want to go to bed now with no story, or do you want to stay up in, you know, 10 more minutes and we'll read a story? Like, sometimes you've got to give them two choices that are both bad. And even that really worked for Vivian anyway. So that's my number five. Two choices. Sometimes they're both bad.
Nice. Yep. Well, yeah. Well, or one is a little less bad than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my number five is probably my most controversial on my list. And I might get pushback from other parents or other parenting people, but it was something we decided early on when our kids were actually, when Jameson was really little. I mean, probably would have been two. And that is no Santa. Not to, like, you know, put a damper on Christmas or make Christmas less magical, but we felt it would be more magical if we expressed to our kids that the gifts they were receiving were from people in their lives that loved them and cared about them and were thinking about them and wanted to buy them something special and get them something special, not a magical fairy man up in a cold mountain that was watching you all the time to make sure you were good. You know, so we just, you know, again, it wasn't trying to take away the magic of the holiday, but we tried to make the magic be like, these are the people that care about you and love you and support you and are here for you. And, you know, they wanted to show that by getting you a gift. And so that's what we kind of did. So we never, you know, we never said anything bad about Santa, or Santa wasn't real, or Santa wasn't this. We just never really mentioned or brought up Santa or any of that stuff. We just always talked about how, you know, this was a time where we show each other that we love each other. And, you know, this is cool to see all of these people, you know, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, you know, all these people around you that care about you. So that was what we did. And I think it's been great. You know, we don't have any of those traumatic stories of when our kids found out Santa wasn't real or anything like that. You know, they always know that Christmas is special because it's a time to be with family. So, so that was that's a parenting hack. And that was something that we really enjoyed doing with our kids. So
nice.
So maybe controversial.
It's totally your prerogative to do whatever you want. Like,
yep.
We kind of fell more in the middle. Like we did believe in Santa Claus. We did, you know, write letters to Santa. We even had Santa to our house a few times. But like also we now that I think, you know, we're beyond that. I mean, we never really talked about it too much, but like now we understand that, you know, we're making it magic for other kids and it's fun, but
yeah.
I will not tell anybody one way or the other. Like, it's your family. You get to do what you want and what you think will work for your kids. So yeah, that's totally cool, man. Awesome. All right. So that was your number five. No fucking Santa Claus.
That's right. Get him out.
So my number four is, I'll just call it repair after conflict. So it's just, it's more like the showing humility, showing, hey, I messed up, coming down to the level of your kid. Like, I mean, I don't know if that was something that was good or bad for me as a kid. Like my parents didn't really ever apologize or do something like say I overreacted. But I do know that when I've done that, it's opened up like this new opportunity, this new point of connection with Vivian, where we've been able to like have a deeper conversation after that moment where she realized, hey, I'm not just here to punish her and to judge her and to, you know, to be her parent figure. I'm also here because I love her and I want to, you know, have a deep connection with her. And I want to, you know, we're a team, you know, we're trying to get through this thing called life together. And I'm trying to get her set up for success in her future. So all the things I do, I'm doing, you know, for us and for her. And, so I've just had some very rewarding conversations when it started with me apologizing and saying, hey, like I did the wrong thing there. I should not have said that. I shouldn't have yelled at you. I should not have. And then there's that opportunity to maybe explain yourself a little bit or say why you were maybe put on edge, like how you were triggered. And you know, maybe it's something from your past, some baggage that you need to deal with or whatever. But it just opens up so many more ways to just connect, instead of just being the one that your child is looking at as like, first off, perfect and never messes up. And, you know, is this infallible, you know, person in their life, you know? So I feel like that's one that's worked for us.
I think that's a good one. Yeah. It's just a reminder. You're human too. You know, we're human too. We are a parent. We are your parent, but we're also not perfect.
I know most things.
There's not a manual,
but I don't know everything.
Okay. So my number four, right?
Yep.
This has been for me, I think, one of the biggest kind of lifesavers we've used with our kids. We started with Jameson and have used it with Reese, and it's been great. And it's the use of timers/warning time. Like we use it for a lot of different stuff. So like if we're hanging out with people and we're having a good time, we always give, hey, here's a 15-minute warning.
Yeah.
You know, you have 15 more minutes. And then we usually do 10 minutes, 5 minutes, you know, just like a countdown. So they're aware, like, hey, you know, we're glad you're having fun, but this has to come to an end. And it just makes leaving We don't usually have a temper tantrum. They don't usually throw a fit. They usually understand, okay, we've been given enough time. We know it's coming. We're prepared. And then even timers, the amount of time we use electronics is all timed. And then we use timers for fun games like, hey, how quickly can you clean up your toys that are on your floor or whatever? We'll time you and see how quickly you can do it and see if you can beat your last record. I bet you
can't do it in 2 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, we do that all the time. Oh, yeah. And, obviously that doesn't work so much with a 13-year-old, but it still works with a 7-year-old. Yeah. It still works when they were little. They used to do it all the time. Like they would race up the stairs to see how quickly they could put their pajamas on or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So just those kind of timing things have been lifesavers for us. The leaving, giving them warnings and let them know, we're at the playground. Hey, you got 10 more minutes. And we count it down. And then rarely do they have a temper tantrum. Usually they know what's coming and what's around the corner. Whereas if you just say, oh, it's time to leave, that's when they seem to get a little more upset. So, timers and warning times. So,
nobody likes to get jerked out of anything, it's
right.
We've noticed that even like with like screen time and things like that, or like, watching TV shows or playing video games. It's like, Viv, you got 5 minutes, But also I was going to kind of give you some crap because like I've found that timers just work for myself, but you're right. I mean, some techniques, some hacks are very universal when it comes to parenting or just personal. Like it's funny because a lot of parenting techniques and, that sort of thing, they're just life skills in the end. Yeah. All right. So that was your number 4.
Yep.
My number 3 is not necessarily so much a technique or hack, but it's just kind of a situation, but it's car ride conversations. Just when you're in the car, you're not looking at each other because one person's driving and both people are kind of just looking forward anyway. You're side by side. It just seems like, and like I said, my list is kind of going as we're getting older here. And some of the best conversations that Vivian and I have had, or even as a whole family, but I found, some of the more profound conversations are, when we're going to or from school, right after she gets in the car, after being at school or on her way, thinking about a big test or some situation that she's got to talk about with her friends that day. It's just really just raw time that, sometimes is, full of emotion. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's very closed off and cold. And, it's all good, though. And I've been lucky, been very lucky to be able to say that, I've brought Vivian to and from school most of her student life. And that's something I've just cherished so much. And I've really fought to keep in my life because of how much it means to me. Just love that car ride conversation time. So that's my number 3.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a great time to take advantage of. I mean, because there's really nothing. Yes, you could be listening to music or a podcast.
And we do.
But really, right. But really, that's a perfect time to have those conversations and to talk about just the day-to-day life and all of that. Yep. So, yeah, I don't get to do that as much with Jameson anymore because Tori takes him to school now. But I do. I did that like when we took him to daycare or all that kind of stuff. It was always fun to have those conversations. But I don't have them quite as often with Jameson anymore, but I still have Reese. Still get to drop Reese off.
And Tori gets to too, so then she gets,
right, exactly.
She gets her time as well. All right, so that was my number 3. What was your number 3?
So my number 3, again, I guess I'm coming back to Christmas. It doesn't necessarily, but it does. So I'm calling it my Christmas list hack. So I don't know if Vivian's like this, but Jameson and Reese have always been, when you go to the store and they find something that they want and nag you, I want this, I want this,
Oh,
I
yeah.
want this. And what the way I've always overcome that and tried to smooth it over is I would either take a picture of it or I would pull up Amazon right away and put it on their Christmas list and just say,
Sure.
hey, we're added to your Christmas list. Now I know it's something you want. It's something, just makes going to the store easier. Even like when we're at, even at Disney, there were times where so they're like, I want this, I want this. Like, let me see if I can find it on Amazon and put it on your Christmas list. That way I don't have to buy them every trinket or toy or have meltdowns in the stores or anything like that.
Note
It saved
taken.
me. Yeah, exactly. It saved me so many arguments and conversations. And typically I put it on the list and they forget about it and it's not a big deal. But the act of putting it on the list has eased their anxiety or their desire to have said purchase
Well, I
at
mean,
that
again,
moment. So,
life skill. Like, I put
yep.
things on my Amazon list that I want, and
Yep.
then a month later I go back and look at it, and I think,
Why did I
why?
put
That's stupid. I
that
already
on
own
there?
three of those. Or
Yep.
so
Exactly.
yeah, I mean, that's just a good skill. But yeah, in general, like, it's good, like, you noted it, you
Yep.
talked about, the importance of it to them at that moment.
Yep.
You validated that moment. You made
Without buying
note of
it.
it without buying
Yep.
it. You said,
Yep.
hey, this is something you really want. You can get it for Christmas or your next, gift moment. Yeah, that's a great one. All right, so that was your number three.
Yep.
My number three is the family calendar. Ever since Vivian got, I think ever since Vivian got her iPhone last year for her birthday, which we let her purchase her own iPhone.
Yep.
She worked all summer long to earn the money for it and bought it for herself. And so once she got her own iPhone, she got her own, iCloud account. We got that thing locked down tight. I could
Sure.
shut her off at any moment I need to. She, it doesn't work in the middle of the night. Doesn't work while she's at school.
Yep.
And obviously, there's a lot of parental restrictions on it, being that she's 13 years old. But one of the things that she does have access to is our family calendar, and I mean, the calendar is really my lifeblood. If Google calendars went down, I would be screwed. My life would be upside down. I could probably figure some things out, but I would have to go to a paper calendar because I'm so reliant on a calendar at this point in my life. And I think most people who have anything more than, a couple things going on probably also have calendars. So I think most people can relate to this. But since Vivian has gotten access to it and been able to add things, and she knows the rules of it, don't delete anything without, checking with one or both of us. It's really given her buy-in to, like I said, we're a team. We're doing this together. You talk to us and you put something on the calendar. If it's on the calendar, it'll happen. If it makes sense and the family can do it, we will do it. And that just has really, that's been so beneficial because not only does she feel like she has buy-in, but also, like, she's never surprised by, something that is coming up. It's like, well, you saw that, we're going to grandma's house this weekend. That was on the calendar. Or we've got, I'm going to a Pistons game this night, so dad's going to be gone this night, so you guys are going to be on your own for dinner or whatever. So it just again helps everybody get on the same page, to know that, hey, we're in this together and we're going to work through it together as a team. So Google Calendar, number two.
Family shared calendars is huge. Yeah, it's funny. I just had so we had the same thing with Jameson. Saved money on all summer and bought an iPhone. Now he doesn't have service or anything, but he can use it, where there's Wi-Fi. So we gave Reese Jameson's old one. So obviously, it just has Wi-Fi and stuff in it, but it has the family calendar on it, and it's so funny to see her like, I gotta go check the calendar. Like she loves to check the
That's so
family
cool.
calendar. It just makes me chuckle.
That was my number two.
Okay, so my number two is more or less your number five. I called it binary choices,
Okay.
making sure you give them options. So like for example, if we're talking about like cleaning up or anything, it's not like go clean your room. It's why don't where do you want to start? Do you want to start on your bed? Do you want to start on your clothes? Whatever. Kind of giving them some control and some choices, as opposed to just saying do this and then move on.
Yep.
It's yeah. I mean it has helped in immense ways. I mean it just makes them have some control, feel like they have some control, even though I mean technically you're manipulating them into what you want them to do. But it's giving them a sense of control, a sense of choice, as opposed to just demanding and saying do X, Y, and Z. It's how can we give them some independence in those choices. So, and yeah, like you said, sometimes it is a negative choice. Like we can either go to bed now and read a story, or we can have a consequence and still go to bed. So it's not always, easy or happy choices. Sometimes it's, we still got to do it, but where do we want to start with our choices? So.
Life is full of choices. All right, so that was your number two. We are on to our number ones. All right, so my number one is teaching budgeting early. So this one, I mean, again, this one kind of folds in with the calendar, the family calendar. But this past year, and this is really Katie does more of the finances in the family. I wouldn't even say more. She does most of the family budgeting, because I run my business and then that's separate, obviously. But so she runs all the budgeting and book work for the family, and we decided this past year to also include Vivian in weekly financial meetings that we have normally on Sunday nights. And so she sees all of our finances. She sees, what our net worth is. And this is how net worth is calculated. And so this is how much we have. This is how much we owe. This is how much we make. This is how much we have in, savings. And this is how much we have in our retirement funds. And this is how much we have in your college fund. And like, so just showing her all of that stuff, showing her what we have coming in, what we have going out. And she, at first she was pretty overwhelmed, and like rightfully, she at times she'd be like, oh, we should not spend money on that. Like, we should not be going to Disney World. And it's like, well, Vivian, this is a line item in our budget. So like, if things are tight and we need to take some things out of our budget to, make things come out even, then that we will consider taking things out of vacations or taking things out of other luxuries that we have. But for the most part, like, these things are already scheduled, they're already part of the budget. So, that just means next month we're going to have to try to tighten things up to try to get back even again. And so she's been very receptive to that. And not only that, but she's, in advanced math at school. And so like, she's really good with the numbers. And so it's she's really taken to it pretty well. And so for me, like, I come from family that, we, not that we were ever poor or anything like that, but like, we just didn't have as much as far as wealth. And so to teach that, it's been hard. Like, Katie and I, when we were just talking with Kate, Vivian a little bit ago about, when we were young and poor, we were talking about how through the library you can basically rent books, or not rent books, you can borrow books, you can borrow like audiobooks and ebooks from the library through the, through those apps, like Libby and those sorts of apps. And so we were telling her how that worked, and I said, well, there was a time where, I said, there is, you can do that way, but there's always ways around it. And I said, maybe We might have done that in our younger and poorer days when we had
Sure.
to, find ways, creative ways to get the things that we needed, and illegally downloading audiobooks was pretty easy and not traceable, and but like just teaching her things like that has been really interesting, and it's been a blessing to be able to say that we can teach her that younger than I learned it. And really, like, part of it was like even my school system I went to, like, it never really, personal finances really never got taught too much, or it wasn't, if they did it, they didn't really connect it very well to us, to where we could use it in our everyday lives as a 15-year-old in, as a freshman in high school or whatever, So, I think, stressing it in the way we're doing it hopefully helps her, and at least it hopefully puts her in a better situation than what we were in when we were her age.
Well, and I think too, it's, I mean, I don't know if your parents are like this, but my parents, I mean, we never talked about finances. I mean, I other than, I knew there was a struggle. I knew, I grew up not with a lot of money, so the only thing I heard about was, the lack of money, but like, we didn't talk about how much my parents made or how much things cost.
Yeah.
We didn't do any of that kind of stuff. I think it's a good thing to tell your kids, like, hey, this is,
and they were,
what these things cost.
And our parents were sheltering us. Right. I mean, they didn't want that to be, they wanted us to be kids, and that's a great thing. I'm happy that my parents probably sheltered
and I think
me
it was
from
just,
a lot of
that. I think it was part of the culture in the era. I don't think that was just something. We didn't bring it up. That was an adult problem, not a kid. Kids didn't need to be. And I still think, kids don't need to know
everything
necessarily. But the more that we can share about what it costs, how what we make, all that kind of stuff, I think it just prepares them better to kind of understand
what
where
life
they
is
need
like
to be or where they want to be, or that's a good one.
It's just really, like I said, it's just really cool to be able to be on that level with her and for her to be able to grasp it, and like I said, it's as generations go, we're all building on our previous, you're building on the gained knowledge of your mom and dad and Tori's mom and dad, and you're coming together and you're trying to, gain your own base of knowledge that you're passing on to your kids, and hopefully they can build on what you taught them. And so, like, it's all just natural progress, and and luckily we are able to be in the situation we are. So I feel like there was something else I was going to mention about, just like money, in general is something that I hate how it controls us so much. And so to be able to set Vivian up in a way that she won't have to, not that she doesn't have to worry about it, but like to where she can control it instead of having it control her, because too much of my adult life, money has controlled me and my decisions. And I want her to be in the situation where, she has to think about money, but she can control it. And she can control how she wants to make it. And she can control what she wants to do with her money instead of having so much of her life controlled by, and her decisions controlled by money.
So my number one, I call the three deep breaths. I have used this on both of my kids for as long as I can remember. And it's, we get upset, we get riled, we get angry, and we don't get in the right headspace to maybe think or process things through. So how can we take a couple deep breaths, get some oxygen back into our brain, allow our brain to be a little more cognitively and mentally ready to have a conversation. So I've done this with our kids from when they were little to still to this day. If if they start getting riled up, okay, let's take a couple deep breaths. Let's take three deep breaths. Let's calm down. Not only does it help them calm down, but it helps me calm down too. You know, it allows me to take three breaths and to kind of gather my thoughts and think about, okay, well, where are we going? What conversations are we having? How can we best navigate out of this situation together? So it's been for me a lifesaver. You know, with Reese especially, because she seems to get a lot angrier a lot quicker than Jameson ever did. But you know, just getting down on her level, taking three deep breaths, calm down. How can we process this together? What's going on? What really happened? Why are you really upset? What do we need to do to kind of move forward and make sure we're on the same page and headed in the right direction? And again, like I said, for me, it also helps me to calm myself as well. You know, that way I'm not screaming or yelling or overreacting when I get frustrated because she's throwing herself on the ground or he's not listening, you know? Yeah. So it's a reminder to both of us, to just calm down. We're in this together. Let's process through this. Let's not let our reptilian brain take over and, and break things. So, it's been a huge thing, and I've used it so many times. I can't even count how many times I've used it. I mean, daily, hourly, it's been a lifesaver.
Cool. Well, those were good ones. Those were our five. So I think before we jump into our honorable mentions, we have two voicemails to play. Okay. The first one comes from my sister-in-law, Alira. Alira is married to Katie's brother, Alex. So Alex has been on the podcast talking about his University of Florida sports memories. Yep. So this is Alex's wife, Alira, and they live in Virginia. So let's listen to what Alira's parenting tips are.
Hey, Caleb and Jay, first-time caller, long-time listener. Regarding parenting hacks, one small shift that's been really successful in our household, when my 10-year-old, he used to ask for screen time, and I started giving him suggestions on how he could earn it. And this has now developed into him coming to me with proposals, like, if I finish my math program, can I earn screen time? Mom, can I do the dishwasher to earn? And so parental controls have been really awesome to help with this because he can immediately see that time's been added as soon as he's completed the tasks that he set. And so it's changed his mindset into what can I do to achieve what I want? I like how this has evolved from him just having screen time or asking for it to him identify what he can do to earn it. So that was cool. Yep.
That's a great one. And like I said, Vivian has her screen time restrictions and time that she does have, but I have thought about ways that I could use this technique
We do this with Jameson all the time.
Yeah.
Yep. Where it's he has his set time, and if he goes over and wants more, he knows different ways that he can earn it. He can come up with different ways to earn it. He can, you know, so he mows the lawn and we pay him, and he can, instead of getting paid, he can add more screen time, you know, or if he does the dishes, you know, he can get more screen time. So yeah, I agree with her. It's a huge benefit. Not only cause two things get done around the house, but you know, he understands that, you gotta work for certain things if you want them. So,
Yep. Cool. Yep, I like that one too. I'm gonna find a way to use that for sure. Yeah. Okay. All right. The other voicemail comes from my sister. This is my sister that had the submission for the Olympics that the voicemail went away because she sent it to me in iMessage.
Oh, right.
But this is my sister Amanda. She lives in South Carolina, and she's got six kids, four daughters and two boys, four daughters and two sons. And they're just a big, awesome family. Every one of those kids is like just such a great kid in their own right. Not all of them are kids anymore. Evangeline and Juniper are both out of high school now. In fact, we're bringing number three, Alyssum, to Disney World this spring. So great kids. I love bringing Vivian and just spending time with anybody in the family who is around because they're just all great kids, great role models for my daughter. And so I just thought asking my sister, who is one of the best moms I know, what she does. So this is my sister Amanda.
Parenting hack. I would say that having my children do their own laundry, start to finish, is a game changer in my life. Not sure if that was the type of hack you were looking for. I think the other hack that I would say that we have gotten really good about is everyone is responsible for something. So
Big
if we
family.
need the dishes put in the dishwasher and you're asked, you do it. If the floor needs to be swept and someone asks you, you do it. So it's not chore based, but it's like we all live in the same house,
Part of the
and if
team.
something needs to be done, the expectation is that you do it when you're asked.
There you have it. Yep. I mean, like I said, big family. A lot of things need to be done, a lot of moving parts in that family, and so they've all got this understanding that they're all part of this team, and when someone asks you, there's no questions asked, you do it. Someone needs to let the dog out, someone needs to, go do the dishes, like she said, you do it. And
Yeah,
that's
doing
just,
your own laundry, that's a good one. I mean, not only is that a good life skill, but it's a nice way to, I can't even imagine having to do loads of laundry for eight people. So
That's true.
having some of that taken off your plate is huge, I'm sure. So
Yeah, Vivian started doing her own laundry this year, and it's like one of the most amazing things. Great ones, great ones. So those were our two voicemails. Let's talk about some of honorable mentions before we move on. My honorable mentions are, I'll just kind of buzz through these real quick. Bedtime routine. This is one of those things where it's just kind of like, part of your process, a good way to just end every day. I love being able to just, sit, Vivian will get ready for bed. She'll be reading or whatever, and then when it's time for bedtime, then she'll tell us that she's ready, or we'll call up and see if she's ready, and we'll go in there and we'll sit on her bed, and we just kind of talk about how whatever's going on tonight and how we're kind of winding down, and then every night we pray, and we've prayed every night that we can. Even if I'm out of town or whatever, we'll do it over FaceTime or whatever. But it's just been just the, what do you call that when you do something just for the action of it? It's like making coffee. Like, what is that called? Where it's just the routine of it, the
Routine,
ritual.
yeah, repetition. Yeah,
The ritual.
routine.
I just love the ritual of it. It just kind of grounds you, and just kind of gets everybody back on the same page. Everybody's kind of calm in that moment. I just love the bedtime routine. And it's something that everybody probably does, but I think it just makes so much sense to just have that routine. I'm spending too much time. I'm supposed to be buzzing through these. Another one I had is advice or just listen. I love to just let, I mean, obviously there are times for advice, and when you're asked for advice, it's a great time for advice, but sometimes you just need to listen. And sometimes you just need to let it come at you. So I just love to listen. And when Vivian wants to talk, then the next one I have is tech boundaries with input. We have a cell phone contract. So I did not bring that up when I talked about Vivian getting her iPhone, but when she got it, we came up with a contract. And so there are rules. Everybody agrees to them, everybody knows what they are. If they're broken, there are consequences. If we want to renegotiate anything, everything is always up for renegotiation. But yeah, just love the tech boundaries. Obviously, there are a lot of things that our devices can do, and not all of them are good. And so we need to
Sure. Yep.
learn what those boundaries are and why and all that kind of stuff. And I feel like we're doing pretty well. No one's perfect, but yeah, we're getting there. And then another one is private corrections only. I never like if she like just yesterday she had a orchestra concert and she treated me in a way that I was not happy with. And I did not call her out in the moment in front of her friends. But I definitely called her out and told her, the thing that she had done and how it was not acceptable and that there would be consequences and all that kind of stuff. But I don't see the value in doing that in front of, people that she
Sure.
respects and loves and,
Yeah.
and middle schools, especially in middle school right now, middle school is tough enough. She doesn't need her parent, embarrassing her in front of her friends.
Sure.
So that's one of them. And then shared shows. It's something silly. Like we'll watch
Yeah.
a we always have a Friday night movie night or we there are shows that we watch together. And I think it's just really important to always have something that you do together, whether it's obviously TV or movies, but like we do puzzles together, we play board games together. Like just always having something that when you do it together. So
Yeah.
that's one thing. So those are my honorable mentions. What do you got?
I didn't really have much. I mean, I had the bedtime routine too, which is less now with Jameson being older, but still with Reese, reading her stories, bringing her to bed, still cherish those moments. It's not really a hack. It's just something we've always done with the kids and
Well, it works.
means a lot. Yeah. And also just we never like I never have to fight to get them to bed. They know what their bedtimes are. They know what the expectations are. They know we get to go up and get ready for bed and then read our story and we go to bed. I feel like when you've created those routines and those systems, some of that you get rid of some of those arguments or fights that other people have. I mean, we've never had to force our kids. They know what the expectations are for bedtime. So just the bedtime routines have been huge for us. So that was really the only one I had. So
Cool. All right. Well, that was a fun topic, Caleb.
yeah.
I don't think we're tooting our own horns here or patting ourselves on our back too much. I think, we're both humble enough and realists enough to know that we're just trying to figure this out as parents, as humans,
Right.
as dads.
Well, and it's stuff that's worked for us. Doesn't
Yeah.
mean it's going to work for everybody. So
And
it's just
doesn't mean
things
it's
we've come across
perfect.
that have worked.
Yeah.
Yep.
It just
Or
is
that we
what it
do it
is.
every time,
Exactly.
there's times where it doesn't happen.
Sometimes it's
So
aspirational. That's right.
there are definitely times where I just say, go do this. I
Yeah.
don't give them two choices.
That is
No.
very true.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought it'd be fun to talk about if any parents out there want to give us their input and things that they've done. Well, obviously,
Yeah.
like Caleb said, there we have those avenues of reaching out to us. But
Yep.
also, just yeah, we'd love to
No,
hear from you.
and it's hard, We're all trying to just do our best, figure it out. I think a lot of times when you're kids, you think your parents just know everything or know how to parent, and when you become a parent, you realize, oh, they were just winging it too.
Yeah,
Like
they were
we're all
barely
just
getting
winging
by.
it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Cool. All right, Caleb. So that was our topic this week, parenting hacks. It's
Yep.
your choice next week. Do you have one that you'd like to cover?
I want to do top five movie sequels.
Top five sequels. Because sequels are
Yeah.
tough. Normally,
Right.
sequels suck.
I know that's yeah.
I got
Yeah, so
one I'm thinking of already. But yeah, that's a toughie. Okay. All right.
yeah, I thought it'd be fun to do top five movie sequels.
Movie sequels. Okay. All right. Well, I guess that just leaves us getting out of here. Anything you want to
Yeah.
say to everybody before we go?
Nope. appreciate everybody listening. Have a good week. And if you got movie sequel you want to bring up, you know how to reach us. We'd love to hear from you.
Cool. All right, guys. Good to see you, Caleb. And we will see everybody later. Bye.
See you, everybody.
For listening to the High Five Podcast. We'd love to hear what your high fives would be or what you thought of ours. You can find us on Facebook or email us at thehighfivepodcast@gmail.com, or just say hi if you know us in real life. And a big thank you to our friend Trevor Durheimer for the awesome intro and outro music. See you next time.